You've just been promoted. Congratulations. But here's the hard truth. Everything you knew about succeeding at work is about to become obsolete. The skills that made you a star performer, your technical expertise, your ability to deliver results independently, won't save you now. Management isn't an enhanced version of what you were doing before. It's an entirely different game with different rules, different scorecards, and different ways to fail spectacularly. About 1 in 5 people promoted into management would actually prefer to stay in their old roles but accept the promotion because they fear hitting a career ceiling. If that resonates with you, you're not alone. But whether you chose this path or felt pushed onto it, the transition ahead demands a fundamental rewiring of how you think about work and success. Here's something nobody tells you. The more you flex your authority, the less effective it becomes. Think of authority like a rare vintage wine. The more you pour, the less you have left for when it really matters. New managers often make the mistake of immediately asserting their position, issuing directives to prove they're in charge. This backfires spectacularly. People already know you're the manager. Constantly reminding them breeds resentment, not respect. The most effective approach? Make requests instead of giving orders. This managerial understatement builds goodwill while preserving your authority for genuine crises. Your first 60 days shouldn't be about broadcasting your vision. They should be about listening. Schedule individual conversations with each team member, but not immediately. Give people time to adjust to your presence first. Meet over coffee or in your office, creating an unhurried atmosphere where your primary job is to shut up and listen. These conversations aren't about discussing your plans. They're about establishing communication channels from them to you. What are their concerns, their career aspirations, their frustrations with current processes? By addressing small issues early, you prevent larger problems later and begin building the trust that separates effective managers from those who merely occupy the title. Trust must be earned through consistent behavior over time. Start by creating patterns of success. Assign tasks your team members can actually master. Give a new marketing coordinator smaller campaign components before full campaign responsibility. When mistakes happen, always praise publicly and criticize privately. Focus on correcting misunderstandings rather than making personal judgments. Perfectionism destroys trust faster than almost anything else. Research shows employees rank being appreciated for what I do as their most important work attribute, far above salary. Recognition costs nothing, yet profoundly impacts performance. The formula: specifically describe the praiseworthy behavior and explain its business impact. Your detailed analysis of customer feedback helped us identify a major service gap, leading to a 15% increase in satisfaction scores, beats "great job" every time. Active listening, truly letting others know they've been heard, ranks among the most valuable traits you can develop. Practice the 2-to-1 ratio. Listen at least twice as much as you talk. Maintain eye contact, ask follow-up questions, periodically summarize key points. Success comes not from having everyone hang on your words, but from absorbing information before making decisions. One bad hire can cost hundreds of hours fixing problems. Most managers prioritize experience during hiring. They're focusing on the wrong thing. The most crucial factor is attitude. Impressive credentials with poor attitude creates perpetual problems. Less experience with outstanding attitude often becomes exceptional. During interviews, most managers talk too much. Start with non-threatening small talk, then ask revealing questions. What did they like best and least about their previous job? How would they describe their former manager? Positive responses focus on professional development and diplomatic descriptions of challenges. Red flags include complaints about occasional overtime, disparaging former employers, or focusing solely on social aspects. Performance management begins with clear, written standards built into job descriptions. When confronting poor performance, do it privately and focus on the work, not the person. Use this tool. Fold paper into thirds labeled strengths, areas for improvement, and goals. Create this plan with the employee's input. Each goal needs a specific achievement date. Both sign and date it, with monthly follow-up scheduled. this makes progress assessment straightforward. Either improvement happens or it becomes clear the employee needs to move on. Delegation develops employees while boosting organizational effectiveness. Benefits include motivated teams who feel trusted, improved cost effectiveness, freed time for strategic work, and leadership development opportunities. Yet managers resist because they fear being outperformed, worry about appearing lazy, love technical tasks, or lack confidence in outcomes. Effective delegation requires 5 steps. Create a task inventory identifying what you could delegate. Select someone motivated with adequate capacity. Thoroughly describe task details, outcomes, and benefits. Establish clear written goals, milestones, and timelines. And discuss progress monitoring methods. Accept that others will complete tasks differently, often finding innovative solutions you hadn't considered. Be discerning about which tasks truly require perfection versus those where acceptable outcomes suffice. Allowing room for learning from mistakes often produces better long-term results than micromanaging for perfection. Real motivation isn't exercising positional power. It's getting people to willingly do what needs doing. The only truly effective motivation is self-motivation, driven by self-interest. Your job is aligning team members' self-interests with organizational goals. Different people respond to different motivators: promotions, manager approval, competition, financial rewards, personal pride, or job security. Some thrive on public recognition, others prefer private acknowledgement. Understanding risk inclination explains why some embrace change while others prefer established procedures. Less risk-inclined individuals excel at analysis, quality control, and maintaining processes, making excellent compliance officers or financial analysts. More risk-inclined people thrive with tight timelines requiring quick decisions, suitable for business development or innovation. Building balanced teams that leverage these differences creates stronger outcomes. When termination is unavoidable, schedule it for late Friday afternoon when coworkers have left. Have all money due, final pay, severance, unused vacation ready during the meeting. Briefly review performance issues, acknowledge the employee's efforts, and deliver the news directly but humanely. If handled properly, the dismissed employee might thank you for removing them from a mismatched position. Many new managers believe they should create stress-free environments. That's fantasy. Stress is inevitable. What matters is your response. Your reaction shapes your management style, and remaining pleasant during crises instills team confidence. Take deep breaths, speak slowly, prioritize 2 or 3 key points, and focus on solving problems rather than managing emotions. New managers often become so engrossed in work that it occupies every waking moment. While this shows determination, effectiveness requires balance. You'll become a better manager by being a more complete person. Those who define themselves solely by their profession often lose purpose upon retirement. Maintain boundaries through self-discipline about availability and clearly communicate limits to colleagues. Class means treating people with dignity, using appropriate language, sharing recognition, and respecting others. Your impact on people's lives matters more than what your company produces. Balance leadership with service to prevent an inflated ego. Develop empathy by considering how you'd want to be treated. Management isn't about wielding power. It's about multiplying human potential, one relationship at a time.